It starts with my family, and in a way, that's the whole story. There's my mother, Zambia. You probably won't have heard of her. She's the artist, Zambia White Star. Then there's my da, McCall White Star. His stage name's Mac, and he's the lead guitarist in a band you've probably never heard of that plays a lot of improvised music. Then there's us kids. My older brother, Jesse, my older sister, Miranda, me, Elizon, Serenity, who tries to make us call her Sybil, and last but not least, our baby brother, Luke. People always lift their eyebrows when I say how many of us there are. Five, they say, lifting their voices up at the end to show how they can hardly believe it. I guess we do have a pretty big family by ordinary standards. Mostly people have two or three kids. Somebody told me the size of a normal family is 2.5 kids. I don't know how they figure the half. I mean, what's half a kid? A baby? In that case, there's 4.5 of us, Luke being the half. Only what he lacks in size, he makes up for in star quality. Ha ha. Da always says we have a cast as big as Ben-Hur, which is this old movie about half-naked muscle men who wrestle lions. Da loves movies. He always says if he had another life, he would be a movie director. Not the kind that makes movies about giant dinosaurs or meteors flattening New York. Art house movies, where you don't have any idea what they're on about, but you can't help watching them because they're so weird. And then you come out and the whole world seems to have shifted a bit while you're inside. Da says that's the whole point of those movies, to put you off balance, to make you see things from a different angle. I always answer, we white stars are unbalanced enough already. I mean, you get the picture. This is not your common garden variety family, where Da or Mum goes to work in an office or someplace, and you shop and watch TV in the evenings and go for barbecues on the weekends. For a start, Mum and Da work weird hours. Mum paints at night. She's what's called nocturnal. She sleeps in the daytime and gets up and eats breakfast while the rest of us eat dinner. The best part of her being up all night is that if you wake up with a bad dream or you can't sleep, you can go to her studio. She wraps you in her shawls and lets you curl up in the corner of her tatty old studio couch while she makes Vegemite toast and pots of herbal tea, and you eventually fall asleep watching her paint bathed in moonlight. Da only works at night when he has a gig. Generally, he and his band rehearse 4 days a week in the afternoons and some nights. He earns a living arranging other people's music and giving music lessons. The rest of the time, he's either practicing his guitar or composing his own music. To say we're not rich is an understatement. There's a few good months, a lot of bad months, and the occasional ugly month when we're not having milk in our tea or butter on our bread, and bills with red type and a nasty tone come in the mail because of what Da calls the gap. That means the difference between when you ask somebody to pay you and when you actually get the money. When I was small, I thought the gap was this big crack in the pavement out the front of our place, which had appeared when a truck mounted the curb one night. It was wide enough that little kids needed help to step over it, and old ladies with canes were always tutting at it. What used to scare me about it was that you couldn't see how deep it was, no matter how hard you looked. It was too dark, and I was too scared to reach in and see if I could feel the bottom. One day, the man up the road saw me lying on my belly, staring into it, and he told me to watch out for the bears. Somehow, that gave me this creepy idea that there was a dark underworld of bears, and the crack opened onto it, but it wasn't wide enough for them to escape, though that's what they wanted to do more than anything in the world. They wanted to get out and tear out the throats of all of us puny, hairless bears living up here in the sunlight. They thought humans were mutant bears whose fur had fallen out, but they couldn't find a way to escape, so they would come to the crack and gaze up at us. Whenever I stepped over it, I could feel their eyes glittering with bloodlust and hate. Whenever Dad warned us about the gap, that it was widening, I would have nightmares about the bears, fearing that they had figured a way to open up the crack enough to escape and eat us stupid hairless bears. Of course, I grew out of thinking the bears were down there, but I still got a feeling of unease when Da talked about the gap. Da says it doesn't matter about being poor because everyone should live on the edge some of the time. It reminds you you're alive. One bit of me agrees with him, but another bit thinks it would be a lot easier if you didn't live too close to the edge all of the time.